back a few years ago, right after I finished my bachelor's degree, I was elected to be on the vestry of a church, St. Luke's in Kearney, Nebraska, which became my sponsoring parish when I went to seminary. And I think it was the fourth year of my 3-year term. We all know how these work. But so we went on a vestry retreat. And a question got asked, and well, you know, it's one of those questions that really got some people really upset. Because it was so hard for them to imagine. But the question was, if something would happen to the building, you know, tornado, which is possible in Nebraska, or, you know, like, you know, basically if the building was just totally wiped away, would St. Luke's continue, you know, to go on? Would the Church of St. Luke still be there? And of course, we had all the people, it's like, God, we'd never let that happen to our building. And a lot of people were very upset, though, really got into the conversation and realized that, at least for us then, that realizing that the Church of St. Luke was not a building. It was not a piece of property. It wasn't a charter with the state or the diocese. That the Church of St. Luke's was the people who came together under the name of Christ to serve God, to spread the good news to others, to serve their neighbors. Now, I imagine that's pretty much the same here at St. Andrew's. You know, of course, we don't want to ever see anything, you know, happen to this beautiful building, but as we know from, you know, this church's sister building down the street, life happens. And it would be a very sad and tragic day if that did happen, but I have complete faith that the Church of St. Andrew's isn't tied to this building, but that it is about you and about your relationship with Christ and how you live that relationship out in the world. Now, in today's gospel, we have Jesus, you know, basically there again, talking to the people. And we've been going through a series of all the people who were important leaders of the faith, as well as those people in Jerusalem who thought they were important. You know, in the last few weeks, we have read about Jesus being confronted by high priests, by Sadducees, by Herodians, by Pharisees, by scribes, by all sorts of powerful and educated people. And they've been asking question after question. And these questions are to, you know, they're meant to discredit him. Sometimes they are, you know, wrapped up in this nice little package of looking like a compliment. But the people who are asking these questions, they either want him to answer in a way that either gets him in trouble with the Romans, or will discredit him to the people who have been listening to him. And today, you know, like it always happens, there in the end, somebody sends in a lawyer. And we are told this lawyer comes in to ask Jesus, you know, Master, what is the most important of the laws? What is the most important commandment? Now, we've talked about it time again, that in Torah, it's not just 10 commandments, there's something like 613. And the trick of this question is that each of the commandments are supposed to be as important as the next. That there is not just one most important commandment. But Jesus, without skipping a beat, without pause, tells them You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. Now, this came from Deuteronomy. This would not have been a surprising thing for the people to hear, because if you are a good and faithful Jew, as these people have proclaimed themselves, every morning when you got up, you would have been doing a prayer called the Shema. You know, Shema Israel, oh, hear Israel. And within that prayer, you come across this commandment where they talk about, you know, there being just the one God and that you should love and honor. But then Jesus adds a little twist to it, and he brings in the second. And the second is like it. You shall love the Lord your God, or you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, he holds up, you shall love your God, and says that the commandment, which is in Leviticus, to love your neighbor, are alike. That a good follower of the law is going to follow both of them and see them both as equal importance. Which, I mean, makes sense since we are made in God's image. That we should be honoring ourselves, or at least the image of God that's in us, and honoring that image within our neighbor. Now, this was not an unusual pairing. For generations, rabbis and teachers and priests had been putting these two together. And since that time, they have continued to do so. But what Jesus adds to the mix today is the idea that every other commandment, whether it is from the Torah or if it was a later commandment from the prophets, all hang on these two commandments. The commandment to love. To love God and to love our neighbor. Now, we've talked about this in the past, about how if we truly do love our God and truly love our neighbor, all those other commandments are going to fall into place. That we're going to take care of the widow and the orphan, that we are going to take care of our neighbor. We're going to make sure that we don't cheat other people. And if we do make mistakes, we are going to try to do our best to make amends, to make it right. Now, today, as we look at this commandment to love, we look at it as a church, as the people of St. Andrews. This church that is made up of people. Now, get ready. This is our money talk. Our stewardship sermon, I guess you would call it. To do this work, we need the support of each and every Christian. Now, this week you'll be receiving a letter from the wardens and myself. A letter that has already been looked at by the Bishops Committee, and it will include your pledge card for 2015. And what we're going to ask you to do is, for the next few weeks, is to pray together, you know, as a family, or if you're, you know, by yourself, to pray and to look at and to consider what it is that God is calling you to pledge in the next year. Yeah. Now, one of the mistakes we often make is to see our pledge as a donation. And it is not so much a donation as us returning to God just a portion of what God has so graciously and abundantly given to us. To tithe is a spiritual practice. It is something that when we put that check or our cash, whatever, in the envelope weekly, we do so not like it's just another bill. But we should do so carefully. Giving thanks for the gifts that God has given us. And also being grateful for the ability to return some of that back so that it can be used for, you know, the proclaiming, the carrying on of the good news in our community. Now in the past, you know, this building has been part of, this building has been part of the ministries. It has been part of spreading the good news. It's been used by various people and various groups throughout the years, and hopefully it will continue to be so. But it's also a place where we educate, you know, our children. We prepare our young adults for confirmation. We get our adults ready to go out into the world to share with others about the good news, about their relationship with Christ. It is a place in which, you know, we come together on a regular basis to celebrate. Sometimes we come together here to mourn. But we come together in this place time and time again as children of God, as followers of Christ. We come here each week seeking the will of the Holy Spirit to help guide us throughout the next week, to show us what it is that is God's will for us as a people, both as individuals and as a congregation. Now, I'm sure most of you know that St. Andrew's is, in the eyes of the church, considered a mission and not a parish. Now, of course, a parish has some autonomy that, you know, that a mission doesn't have. But the wonderful thing about being a mission is, you know, is that a mission was put into a place because it was needed, that there was a purpose. Each mission was placed by a diocese or another church for, you know, a specific need, because they saw a group of people that needed to hear the good news. And so we continue that work as a mission. Now, as I said, this week you'll be receiving that letter, and then you can always, you can always return it early. Bob doesn't mind counting ahead of time, but on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we'll have an invitation where we'll collect the cards and say a prayer over them to give a blessing. But in the weeks to come up to that Sunday, was it the 24th?
23rd.
Okay. So, but on the Sundays building up to it, we're going to ask, you know, people in the parish to share for a minute or two during the announcements what it means to them to give to the church, how it fits into their spiritual life and their prayer life, how it is to give back from what God has been so generous to return to God for the purpose of His kingdom on earth. Now, in our readings today, we're told that the Pharisees and everybody else decided that, you know, they weren't going to win. And they walked away and they decided not to ask Christ any more questions. I hope that doesn't happen here. I hope that as long as this place exists, that we're always asking questions, that we're always seeking answers, that we're always trying to find out something new, to ask God what it is and how we can use our resources. Now, I encourage each of you as you get that letter to, as I said, take time and pray. Maybe not just automatically write in an amount, but to think about it. We're going to ask you to be as generous as possible, but realizing that there are some who are struggling. And sisters and brothers, as I said earlier, if something tragic would happen to this building, I do firmly believe that the Church of St. Andrew's will continue, because it is not about this building. It's about you, and it's about that spirit, each and every one of you, carrying your heart. And it's that spirit that you so willingly share with one another. So I encourage you to share that spirit with people outside of this place, to leave other people know that we are here, that we exist, and that Christ is alive and well, to give them a little piece of the wonder that we receive each week at the Lord's table. My sisters and brothers, I encourage you to do God's work, not just on Sundays, but every day, every moment, and to realize that God has been very, very good to us.
Stanza 4, 5.